North Georgia Business Radio presents the best of Business Radio X. Business Radio X serves as the voice of business in cities around the country. And every day, Business Radio X lets you hear from business leaders, executives, managers, and business owners, allowing them to share their stories of success. I'm Mike Salmon, and today on the show, we're going to share some of the conversations heard recently in our Business Radio X studio in Gwinnett County. Today on the program, you'll learn about the special culture and marketing secrets of Chick-fil-A from one of their top restaurant franchise owners. And also later on, an asset protection attorney explains the do's and don'ts of estate planning for those with disabilities. But up first, a conversation with Lita Brooks, the owner of Status Home Design, an interior design superstore like no other in Gwinnett County. This is from a recent interview on the weekly program, Gwinnett Business Radio.
Status Home Design is a 12,000 square foot retail store. It is located off the Hamilton Mill exit off I-85 North. I say we're a retail store. We do home decor, furniture. I have 70 individual vendor booths inside the store, so we've sort of coined ourselves a vendor boutique. We really are a one-stop shop for anything for your home. So I've got a full-service interior design firm built inside the store. I've got a seamstress upholsterer studio inside the store. I've got three Status carpenters, and we now have built an entire classroom for all things DIY.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big undertaking.
Let me ask you one question about the description, and I'm sorry if I cut you off.
No, if
I cut you off the description and there's more to say, you can interrupt me back and finish it. But you talk about the vendor booths.
Yes.
The first thing that jumps into my mind, and maybe other listeners, is, oh, vendor booths, that means it's some kind of flea market. It is not that at all.
No, it is not.
So talk about your vendor booths. I mean, it's almost like a home design, I hate to use the word mall because I think it's out of style, but I mean, is that really, it's these vendors are not just, oh, we got some stuff. I mean, they're really full service in
what they
do, right? So
yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
So you said the mall, you would think of an antique mall.
Yes.
And that's a little bit in concept where this probably started,
yeah.
I guess, in concept. But the vendors at Status, everyone has to be approved to be a vendor. You cannot just become a vendor at Status if you want to. Very few antiques. Unfortunately, antiques do not sell nowadays like they used to. We repaint them. We repurpose them. We have a whole avenue of our business just for that. You sign up to become a vendor. It is a lot of new, very trendy. Status is very upscale. So I would consider us even an upscale vendor boutique. Possibly not upscale prices.
Lita, you're the owner. Where did the concept kind of come from?
Okay.
And is this original? Is anybody else doing this?
In different forms, yes. But the
not
concept,
as well. Right, go ahead.
I would say that. So the concept really came from my background as an interior designer. I graduated from school with an art and design degree, and I went right into the field of design. As an interior designer, when you're going on an install to finish everything up, you bring more than you need, right? You always want to have, you don't want to have too little, you want to have too much. And if you purchase from stores like mine, there's not always a return policy. You buy these one-of-a-kind items, mm-hmm. and if they don't work, you're kind of stuck with them until you can send them to the next job. So many years ago, I opened up a booth in a little tiny store out in Flowery Branch to sell my excess merchandise. And that was a lot of fun. But it was more hobby. It wasn't every day. So I was kind of doing design. My kids were little, and I had a booth, and I was ready to go back to work full time. And so the concept really came from, how can I marry the two things that I love on a big full-time scale? And I started with 7,500 square feet and 40-some vendors, and then very quickly, the suite next. I'm in a shopping plaza. Kohl's is my anchor on one side, and then Status has the left side of the plaza. One of the businesses in the middle went out of business, and I grabbed that suite as well, adding another 5,000 square feet within the first 8 months. So now we're at 12,500 square feet total.
When you said that pretty much anything in someone's home, you guys can, mm-hmm. can be a part. I mean, I can think of a lot of different areas of someone's home. I mean, we're talking, I mean, are we also talking kitchens, bathrooms?
Absolutely.
Wow. And then one of the little things in one of your descriptions was you even have an in-house upholstery and seamstress?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have a very large workshop on the side of the store that I was just explaining that was the new side, even though we're almost 5 years old at this point. But yes, and she stays very, very busy. I think her next opening, if you needed something upholstered or drapes or something sewn. I think she's 3 months out right now. So she is very booked all the time.
So it's called Status Home, but it really should be like Status Dream Home. Yeah. I mean, come in and whatever your dreams are and whatever you need done anywhere in your house, you have someone who can help with that.
Yes.
So that, when you say one-stop mm-hmm. shop, you ain't joking around.
We truly are one-stop shop.
In the DIY culture that's been created over the last 20, 30 years, I think a lot of people are like, well, I'll do everything myself, including that. Talk about what an interior designer can bring to the process if someone has never used them before.
Hiring an interior designer is beneficial. It's going to save you a lot of time, especially if the vision of this is what the biggest, I don't want to use the word complaint, but struggle is with a homeowner. I know what I want this to look like. I don't know how to pull this together. I go into a home and I see things that are disproportioned. The pictures on the wall don't fit the wall. The wall is massive. The pictures are small. With the vision, and there is a true talent to this, we can come in and really help with your colors. We can help get everything just pulled together. So hiring an interior designer is going to save a tremendous amount of time and a tremendous amount of stress. And it can save a lot of money as well. People think, oh, I'm hiring, so there's the expense of the designer. But if you work full time or your kids in sports and all of you need this to get pulled together, the longer some of these jobs take, especially if you have a contractor on board, that is money. I'm working with a client right now. She just wasn't comfortable communicating with her contractor. The lingo was a little over her head. She didn't understand what the mullions were in the window and different things that he was throwing out. So she brought me on board just to be the liaison to help her pull it together and make sure the contractor was doing what her vision was.
Before we go any further, we got everybody excited now about the retail store. Yeah. Let's give the location exactly where you're at.
Yes. So the physical address is 2240 Hamilton Creek Parkway, and we are in Suite 100. But what that translates to is we are off exit 120 off I-85. And you can see Status from 85. You will see there is a Kohl's, there is a Home Depot, and we are right in the middle.
So that's the Hamilton Mill Road exit.
That is the Hamilton Mill exit, yes.
Right there up 85 past the 985 splits.
It is a Decula address.
Not only do you have all these great things when you walk in, but you also have monthly events.
Yes.
Share some of that.
Yes. It's called Status Super Saturday. The hours are from 10 to 5 at the store, but we basically just throw a big party the first Saturday of every month. There will be different things happening in the classroom. We're going to be having paint demonstrations in the morning. This Saturday, I will be teaching design trends from 12 to 2. And then from 2 to 4, you can come and meet with any one of our interior designers for a free consultation. Bring pictures of your home, a trouble spot, something you're struggling with, and you can sit with any designer and they will just kind of guide you through our best advice.
So Mike asked for the physical address, and that is incredibly important and a good place to go because of the parties and because of all the other stuff inside the store. But you're also now selling live on Facebook?
Yes.
Talk about that process.
We just launched a new portion of Status. It's called the Status Market, where we are doing live shopping events on Tuesday night at 8:30. And where you find this, you go on Facebook, look up Status Market, and you join, but then you have to take one more step and you have to join the Status Market VIP shopping group. And it'll all be linked. You click and ask to join. Again, you'll get notified every time we're going live. There will be flash sales. Like this Saturday, there will be a flash sale at 1 o'clock during the Status Super Saturday. We kind of want to show the buzz of the event. But every Tuesday night at 8:30, we sell store Status merchandise live.
And so through things like the Status Market on Facebook Live, this is also to the reach of the store goes nationwide.
Yes.
To some. Okay. Let me go back to the vendors for just a second. Are there vendors right now that are in high demand that you're looking to add to Status at this point?
Right now, Status is on a wait list to come into the store.
Okay.
So the process, probably more that. People want to get into Status mm-hmm. to become a vendor. So what you do is you can start by contacting the store via email or via walking in the store. We put your name and number on the wait list and a few notes about what your style is. We don't take vendors that are going to compete with any current vendors. So, for example, if you work with Pallet Woods or you make signs, we're going to make sure that they look different from someone else in the store. I've got two jewelry vendors, and that's all I'm going to take if one of them were to leave, I would bring on another one. But I don't want an entire store of everybody doing the exact same thing. And I don't want the competition between my vendors. We all work as a team. We call ourselves a family. And it works really, really well. I've got vendors that have been with me going on 5 years now, and quite a few of them.
Let's give the location one last time. And if there's a website as well, and the Facebook, all that information.
If there's a website. Of course there's a website. I mean, come on.
Okay, give us the website. If you have a Facebook, phone number. All that. Anything you want to give us.
Right, sure. Now. The website's easy. It is statushomedesign.com. And everything you want to know about Status is on there, from the design to the carpentry, to the online, even the blog, which we didn't even talk about. So there's a whole bunch of different avenues, but it's all at statushomedesign.com.
And the location again?
2240 Hamilton Creek Parkway, Suite 100, and that is in Decula.
And that's Lita Brooks, the owner of Status Home Design, on Business Radio X. To hear the entire interview, visit businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, and then click on Gwinnett Business Radio. Coming up next, a healthcare executive explains the term population health and the challenges faced by the healthcare industry in serving the masses. You're listening to North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X, where we are sharing some of the on-air interviews from this past week. Every leader has a strategy, but executing on that strategy is the challenge. On the weekly program, Leader Dialogue, presented by SOAR Vision Group, leaders in the healthcare industry are interviewed to gain insights on their challenges and successes in managing others. A recent episode featured Nikki Buchanan, venture leader of Population Insights and Care at Philips, and an expert on population health management.
We had you last time, Nikki, explain what population health is, because that was a new term for me. So explain that and what you do.
Sure. So population health management is kind of a way of thinking about treating patients. It's been gaining traction over the past 10 years, especially because of value-based care reimbursement. It really is, in its most simplest form, taking care of patients in their most natural setting, knowing that everyone has some condition in some way or will at some point in their life. In many ways, we treat them from the wellness side and prevention side all the way to managing chronic conditions or even post-surgical type visits. So looking for alternate ways other than just hospital visits and your, you know, once a year visits with your physician to create opportunities for affinity of their care with the patient and the provider.
So just a reminder for all of our listeners, but relative to what our discussion was last week, we talked about population health and how that really is a move towards consumerism in healthcare. And in particular, of course, that drives how are we meeting patients or consumers at whatever is most convenient for them, as opposed to it often being the other way around, which it has been for many, many years in healthcare. I even go back to thinking about house calls, for instance, that we used to have, which was really much more of a consumerism type model than what we have today. And of course, on the other side of that, though, that leads us to think about the business model practicality of being able to do that, right? It's a very different world from when that made sense, and it's a much more complicated world in the way that we're driving through change and thinking about what is convenient and allows us to be successful as an organization, whether the ones providing care, supporting organizations that provide care or not. But what's interesting to me is that you guys have a lot going on in your role.
We have many different teams and many different departments. And ensuring that the message is the same and the vision is being executed all the way down to the individual worker is often one of our biggest challenges. We have to have many town halls every quarter. We have to have a lot of written communication. And at the same time, we have to keep it simple so that people, you know, we're competing with for bandwidth in people's mind and mind share at our company all of the time, because Philips is amazing. It's the 13th most recognized brand in the world.
That's awesome.
But people think of us still as the light bulb company or the MRI company, right? All that great technology that went from light bulbs into ways of serving patients and monitoring and seeing, you know, through imaging in an acute setting in a hospital. Now we're evolving all of that great technology to out of the hospital and ambulatory care. Getting that message through to our employees about why we're changing and why we're doing it is a constant challenge for us because we're distributed across 13 markets.
Right. And SOAR Vision Group is all about that. When you go to leaderdialogue.com, you will see on that front page, we have the actual play-by-play book. It is the playbook, the template of what businesses need to do to be successful. And from the top is leadership, but at the bottom is all about getting it to the frontline workers.
Yes.
I'm glad you said that is one of the, that is perhaps the biggest struggle because that's what we've talked about, but that has to happen, right?
Absolutely. So if you think about, you know, SOAR in a nutshell, as we're working through strategy execution, because it seems so simple, right? You just set a goal and you're like, just do it, right? It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But when you have organizations that are thousands or tens of thousands of people, or sometimes even two, right? I mean, I think about like my household, me and my husband don't always get along. So there's a different perspective that you have to make sure your messaging is consistent. And that I love what you mentioned. It's simple and really it's repeatable. It's consistent. And what you're doing is you're going all the way down. And that it's always connected and aligned. And I think there's an element to that that becomes, even if you do those things right, if you're doing too much, it becomes lost in so much busyness that you're, instead, it's like the, you know, the squirrel concept. You're just kind of going to the next thing, but you never really close anything. And I think that's very overwhelming for frontline team members.
I totally agree. The right amount of content at the right time may be different per team and per department, and really acknowledging that. And then making sure you have the right leaders, you know, truly in all departments that are able to realize that. You know, I've had leaders say to me, you know, we've got Indian development teams as an example, and when they are on holiday, they are on a massive holiday for many weeks at a time. We are not going to deliver a key change in our message or branding during those times of the year, right? So having the brave cultural response to understand your employees and what they are managing to, and then making sure we're still all coordinated in our messages, it can be very challenging for sure. And, you know, we service customers over in Australia. There's a 14-hour time difference. So sometimes I'm doing my town halls at 10 o'clock at night in order to meet the time and, you know, the time frame, because they still want to hear it directly from me often. But I also want my management team to feel empowered to be able to deliver those messages as well. And then, you know, there's another aspect of this, too. What do your customers say about you? Right. Again, 146-year-old company. We've evolved many times. We've gone all into healthcare in the past 10 years. But if you talk to somebody who's known us from 15 years ago, they can't help but start with they used to be the lighting company.
Right.
Because that's their first memory of us.
Right.
It is our goal for our CEO that in the next 10 years, there almost won't be a recollection of that simply because they want to be known as the healthcare tech company. So that's a big rebranding initiative. And so I ask all our customers all the time, because they use many facets of Philips. They use many different groups and consumer-driven, you know, parts of Philips. So I ask them all the time, what do you say when you say you're partnered with Philips? What is it that you describe us? How do you describe us? And I will tell you that is where we are the most challenged, because depending on who they work with, depending on which products they've bought from us or what their patients use, they may have a very different view. Some of them may not even use the term pop health, which makes me cry because I hope they know that about us.
Right?
But that's part of the job. And that's why, you know, there's a constant challenge in adaptability that we need to be able to provide to the customer.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, when we talk about Philips, light bulbs did not come to my mind first.
Great.
Healthcare actually did. And whenever you guys said light bulbs, I'm like, oh, yeah.
We're getting it working,
right?
Yes.
Well,
Imaging is always what I think of, but I think a broader audience would say the lighting industry
for
sure.
Yep.
And that's just part of a recent interview with healthcare leader Nikki Buchanan of Philips on the weekly program Leader Dialogue. For the entire interview, visit businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, and then click on Leader Dialogue. Or you can visit leaderdialogue.com. Well, coming up next on the Best of Business Radio X, an inside look at the success and culture at Chick-fil-A from one of the area's top franchise owners. Stay tuned. North Georgia Business Radio and the Best of Business Radio X continues after this.
Tired Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031.
Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X. One of the nation's top fast food chains and a favorite right here in the Atlanta area is our very own Chick-fil-A. The restaurant is well known for its popular chicken sandwiches, friendly service, and company culture. On a recent episode of Marketing Matters, host Ryan Sowers and Jane Bishop interviewed local franchise owner Cliff Daniels about everything that makes Chick-fil-A so special.
You've kind of grown up in Chick-fil-A. I mean, tell me, how many years did your dad have a...
My father started in Bryan, College Station, Texas, as a mall operator 34 years ago. Was on the oil rigs, got tired of taking a helicopter to work and working around roughnecks, and heard about this guy named Truett Cathy who was starting up this little chicken chain and was looking for entrepreneurs. And he was tired of working on oil rigs and told my mom that, hey, I'm going to start doing this chicken thing.
He said,
you've never even worked in a restaurant. And he just really believed in Truett and the Cathy family and kind of went out on a limb, left his engineering degree in the past and started selling chicken in a mall. And 34 years later, still doing it. I'm just trying to follow in his footsteps.
Well, he's a good man. I'm letting our younger listeners know Chick-fil-A was primarily in malls, you know, back in the day. It wasn't so many freestanding stores.
Yeah, that's what brought us to Atlanta. When freestanders started happening in the late 80s, Dad had a chance to get out of Texas, come back to Atlanta because he went to school at Georgia Tech. And fortunately, I've been able to stay there, get my first restaurant here.
Cliff, you know, I know you're big into leadership. And let's talk a little bit. Have you read any books, like, for our listeners? They always say, hey, Ryan, how do I learn? Anything you might recommend to a person out there as an aspiring business, wannabe owner, that you might recommend you've read recently that's had an impact on you?
I try to read it at least once a year. And I teach it to all my leaders as they come through and move from being what we would call a crew leader to a director inside the restaurant. The book is called The Secret. It's What Great Leaders Know and Do. It's written by someone named Mark Miller and I believe Ken Blanchard as well.
Right.
It's a very big Chick-fil-A book, actually, also. Okay. It's The Secret of Leadership, and it's an acronym. It spells out the word serve. You know, the end of the story is great leaders serve, but each letter having an acronym, being part of the acronym, tells a story which makes a great leader, whether it's in the restaurant or running your own business and, you know, outside of the food industry. A book I absolutely love and teach, I mean, essentially every day inside the restaurant.
Everyone's talking about theories of leadership, but you actually got to do it. I mean, you can't just talk about it. And so when you're actually sitting down teaching people and explaining it to younger generations, that's powerful. And I commend you for doing that.
What is it about that book, though, that you find applicable to your leaders?
I think that it's simple. Like, leadership can sound like a very difficult task to tackle. It can be very theoretical, and there's thousands of books on it too. And the thing that I like about it is it just keeps leadership very simple. And it's like, if you can hold on to these five values, you know, the S in the acronym for the SERV is see the future. And it talks about how great leaders have vision and need to be goal setters, and that the leader of the organization doesn't set goals or doesn't have good vision, no one's going to know where to go. Like, the E stands for engaging and developing. So it's about the importance of engaging and developing people. The
You're pulling R, me in, Cliff. Yeah. Keep them coming.
The R is like reinvent continuously. Like, we think about Chick-fil-A drive-thrus. It wasn't 4 years ago. We didn't even have iPads outside. And now we have iPads. And iPads have reinvented how we've been able to increase our capacity, put more cars through the drive-thru, increase sales just by changing the way that we would take orders. And now we're reinventing. We're adding hip receipt printers so that we can not give receipts away at the window. We can do it halfway up inside the queue. So the V is about valuing results and relationships, which is one of the more difficult ones to teach in a way that many of our leaders are kind of already programmed one or the other. And we all are. There's a spectrum. If you think of results on the far left and relationships on the far right, we all kind of sit naturally one way or the other, being more relationships or more results oriented. And that's a very difficult a lesson for a lot of leaders to learn is that it's not bad to be on one side of the spectrum or the other. You just have to understand that about yourself so that you can try and pull yourself. Because a great drive-through is going to run well with someone who's very relational. That makes sure that guests are happy, but also the team around them's happy, but also results-driven. We got
to
push cars through the drive-through.
The quicker you get to the E, I mean, that's true. The left-hand's saying, get them through. But if the person doesn't have a good experience, on the other hand, you go, oh, let's talk and chit-chat. Like, move up. So it's that balance, I would suggest, that you're trying to say, hey,
absolutely,
take your natural strengths, and it's good to know what you are, then flex it, right?
Yeah, well, and the awareness of that. I mean, you can't make any shift or change until you have that awareness factor. But back to your acronym.
Yeah, last one.
Last one's E. It's embody the values. So I think every company, I'll just take my own restaurant. I'm on Highway 78 in Stone Mountain. There are a dozen restaurants within a quarter of a mile from me, probably. If you ask every one of those restaurants what they stand for, they're going to say hot food, fast service, kind guests, you know, accuracy in the orders. There's a genuine hospitality feel. But I think one of the difference about Chick-fil-A is ensuring that we're not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. It's one thing to say you stand for hot food and you stand for being kind to the guests, but to actually ensure that that is something you're striving for every single day. If you don't embody the values that you say you stand for, you can't be a great leader and you can't have a great company. And the acronym itself spells serve. At Chick-fil-A is what we do. Regardless of how high you are up in the chain, it is an expectation that great leaders are going to serve. There's no resting on your laurels or just getting promoted and having people underneath you do your work. We try to lead by example. All of our managers and directors stay in operations throughout their entire shifts until certain parts to make sure that they're leading by example and staying involved inside the team.
And we were talking before we went on air. I often use Chick-fil-A as an example for the businesses that I work with about how you've done such an effective job of training, culture, embodying the culture, and actually demonstrating it. I can go to any Chick-fil-A in any place, and 99.9, and I always give the 99.9 because we're not perfect, I get the same experience whether I'm at a Chick-fil-A in New York City or a Chick-fil-A in Texas. And that is huge.
It's difficult to do for certain.
How much does it cost a company? How much does it cost a company to say, my pleasure? What I'm saying is once those values are embodied and people really make them their own, that's the secret to true leadership. I mean, you can talk to them, Cliff, all day long, I'm sure. But if they don't make them their own, they're going, okay, Cliff's not gone, so I don't have to say that anymore. Right. Yeah. And then they got to make it their own. Right.
Absolutely.
Buy in 100%.
And when we talk about making that consistency part of the brand, it is trying to find the team members that we can always coach skill to. Like if we look at any type of prospective team member, we're always thinking, all right, character and skill. We can always teach skill, but the difficult thing to teach is going to be character. And we spend a lot of our selection time in the process, not just my store, but all Chick-fil-A's, finding potential team members and leaders that embody leadership character or high character. Therefore, we know that they're going to be people that are already friendly and kind and are one going to go the extra mile. There was a girl yesterday walked into the restaurant for an interview, and she did very well in her first interview, enough so that my director of hiring came to me and said, listen, you got 5 minutes. You need to talk to this girl. And I sat down with her and I said, well, how many restaurants have you applied with on my street? She said, you're the only one. I said, why? She said, well, I want to be a part of Chick-fil-A's culture and what this is. And if we can find that, and when I got to know her, all of a sudden, high character person, very driven, very sharp, very personable. By the team members that we already had working there, she knew that we were setting a standard that she wanted to be a part of, that her character matched the character of the team members that were already there inside the restaurant.
Matter of fact, I was writing an online forum thing the other day, and I was showing some people. They said, if you have to choose in hiring between a person of high character and high competence, what are you going to choose? I said, always high character, because I can teach them the other skills. They may not ultimately become a home run hitter on that, but if they don't have the character to begin with, you know, and have some potential of that, I can't teach them character. I can work on it, but you either have it and want to grow on it or you don't. And I think, you know, it's important to say too, every Chick-fil-A, even though the experience is there, it has its own DNA inside your own Chick-fil-A,
sure,
right? How do you define that, Cliff? You've been around all kinds of Chick-fil-A's. I mean, same values and standards, which I agree with Jane completely on, but maybe a little bit different in South Georgia or New York City than at your store, because you're not going to do it exactly the same way, are you?
Certainly. And I say that every operator even though we're all selling chicken, we're all going to do it just a little bit differently. And we're also going to try to find ways to make sure that we're staying very connected to our community. So in our case, as we're hiring or as we're deciding what type of events, we're thinking about what is going to represent our community well. What is a way that we can make sure that this restaurant is very well received in this community? And you know, if we were in New York City, working in Manhattan, or if we were in South Georgia and Vidalia, and maybe certain things we would do would be different, but we're always trying to figure out what is the way that we can best serve the customer that comes down Highway 78. On Highway 78, it's a fast-paced life. It feels like every lane on 78 is the left lane some days. Everyone's moving fast and trying to go, and we're trying to have the fastest drive-through that we can. You know, we're actually a little bit larger on a drive-through transaction percentage than your average Chick-fil-A. We do about 65% of our business.
I'm 10%.
Yes. Thank you.
My retirement fund going up.
Your dad got into Chick-fil-A, yep. Cliff, and still is owner mm-hmm. operator. Is that the correct terminology?
Absolutely.
So you obviously grew up with Chick-fil-A. So what was your interest in getting involved as a owner-operator?
Oh, well, as a punk teenager, I despised Chick-fil-A for many years, honestly. We could talk about what it's like working for your father.
I did work for my father one time. I get it.
Yeah. So, well, and also just growing up, the volumes that the brand experienced 20 and 30 years ago were much different than now. It's very humble beginnings, whether you were in a mall or the early freestanders, mm-hmm. and the amount of sales we have now. Like my dad's first year in the mall was $350,000. That was a full year of sales, and we could do that in just over 2 weeks now our own store. So, you know, the volume's obviously much different, and we ate a lot of cold Chick-fil-A that was brought home as a child. I actually went on strike when I was about 12 years old, and I quit eating it. If you ever brought home, I just had cereal. But I worked for him. When I turned 15, he gave me a uniform for a birthday gift, and I thought it was a joke. And he said, no, you're on the schedule Monday, so we'll see you tomorrow. But what I appreciate, what's really drew me back to Chick-fil-A after I had a college at Georgia Tech and a career in sales, was a hunger to be an entrepreneur, to have the freedom that I desired, but also to work in a very specific type of business. I'd worked for a Fortune 50 company, and I wanted to partner with a company that would give me freedom to be a franchisee, to be an entrepreneur, that would give me sort of like four or five things I really wanted. Something community-based, something very fast-paced, opportunity to lead from the front, and opportunity to work with kids. I describe my current job as owner-operator. I'm part entrepreneur, part youth pastor, and I love that. And I could always see myself maybe in a past life either being a teacher or doing youth pastor work or something to that degree. And I kind of cycled back to Chick-fil-A in my late 20s. It was my dad that said, you know what, you would be a great Chick-fil-A operator. And I laughed him off. I said, no, that's you, Dad. He said, you should really look into it. And I started interviewing other operators outside of just my father. I spent a year actually interviewing one a month. And I found that really what they were doing inside the restaurant was exactly what I wanted to do. Mm. Be an entrepreneur, working with youth inside a community, something that was having an immediate impact in the area that I lived and worked. And that's what brought me back to sort of chasing a dream with Chick-fil-A. Growing up in Atlanta, I remember my dad talking about what was called Boston Chicken at the time. Now Boston Market. Yeah. In 1990s, you know, Boston Chicken was happening, and they're going to be a $1 billion company by 2000. Fast forward to 2000, Boston Chicken goes bankrupt and Chick-fil-A becomes a $1 billion company. You know, Chick-fil-A realized, hey, we're going to grow slow. We're going to grow right. We're going to continue to reinvent how we do this business, how we make sure that we're staying competitive, how we're staying top of mind, how can we be consistent? And I think great brands do that. And I think Chick-fil-A hopefully does a very good job of doing that. I mean, growing slow is, I think, a big part of that, too. Never biting off more than they can chew.
And that's host Cliff Daniels, the owner of the Chick-fil-A in Stone Mountain, on Marketing Matters with Ryan Sowers. To hear the entire conversation, visit businessradiox.com, click on the Gwinnett Studio, and then select Marketing Matters. Coming up next, an asset protection attorney explains the do's and don'ts of estate planning for those with disabilities. North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X continues after this. Welcome back to North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X. When it comes to estate planning, one size does not fit all. In fact, there's a segment of estate planning specifically for those with disabilities. Asset protection and elder law attorney Victoria Collier talks about special needs planning on this segment from Senior Salute Radio. What do we mean when we say special needs?
We have talked before about different types of estate planning, and this is a very specialized niche in estate planning called special needs planning. And where it's different than all other kinds of estate planning is it has to do specifically with planning for a person who has disabilities, meaning there is a certain way that if you are disabled or if someone that you love is disabled comes into money, or that you want to leave them money, either like at your death or something like that, the language and the documentation that is required is very different than traditional estate planning.
Is special needs planning the same for everyone?
No, just like every person who has a disability does not have the same kind of disability.
Right.
We've got young children. We have adults with disabilities. We have people who were born with disabilities. We have some who have acquired them over their lifetime in various different ways. So the planning is different depending on, number one, their age. Number two, whose money is it that we're planning with? And are we going to plan for that during the disabled person's lifetime, or during the person who is giving the money to the disabled person during life, or after their death? So many factors come into play, so that planning definitely is not the same for everyone.
In some cases, you're working with that actual individual that has the disability, and in some cases, you may be working with really the family, because the disabled person is unable to really comprehend, perhaps?
Well, most commonly, you are working with the family in some way. And only recently, and when I say recently, I mean in the past couple years, the law changed to where people who have disabilities can actually engage in doing their own planning without court involvement or without a family member to be able to initiate that planning. But prior to a couple years ago, you always had to work with the family or the court system. And now it's a combination.
Give us an overview, if you will, then, of the types of special needs planning that's out there.
So there's two overall broad types of special needs planning. And one is what's called first party special needs planning. First party means that I am the one with disabilities, I am the one who has money, and I am the one who wants to protect that money and still get access to possibly supplemental security income called SSI or Medicaid. And when I get SSI, I automatically would qualify for Medicaid, but for sometimes the assets. So first party is, it's the disabled person's money that we are planning with. Then there's the second type of special needs planning called third-party planning. That means there's a third person, not the person with disabilities. So, for example, a parent, a spouse, a grandparent, a sibling, they have money, and they want to use their money to help benefit the person with disabilities. But they want to do it in such a way that the person with disabilities does not lose any opportunity for SSI, Medicaid, or other government benefits. And under the third party planning, there's actually two different ways to plan depending on very particular factors. But one is called supplemental needs trusts, and the other one is called a sole benefit trust. And to the regular community, it's complicated as to when you would need one or the other of those. And in fact, quite candidly, to lawyers who don't specialize in this area, they don't know the difference between supplemental needs trust and sole benefit trust, which if you use the wrong one, it's malpractice.
Let me ask a quick question before we move forward. And that is, in a previous show, we talked about the four different types of estate planning out there. For a person with a disability, why do we need the special needs type of planning? Why can't they use one of the ones that is already out there and established?
Well, Mike, for people who are disabled, they often will use some of the same types of the four common estate planning types. A person with disabilities will still have a will that says, when I die, this is where I want my stuff to go. right? But if this person needs their own access to government assistance while they're alive, if they're under the age of 65, there's a way to protect their own money and still get access to that medical care through Medicaid and SSI. And so a will is not going to do that for them, because a will is only effective when they die. A revocable trust is not going to do that for them, because that only helps you bypass probate. And if we use the traditional asset protection trust, like we talked about in the four types of estate planning, then they would have to wait at least 5 years to get benefits. And people we're talking about today, they have disabilities today, they have high medical costs today, and they need help today. And so we can't wait 5 years. And so we would need to use the actual federal laws that are customized just to this category of planning, which are for people who are 65 years and under who have disabilities, that if they have their own money, they can protect that and still get access to medical care.
And that's Victoria Collier with the Estate and Asset Protection Law Firm of Victoria Collier on her show, Senior Salute Radio. To hear the entire interview, visit businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, and then click on Senior Salute. Well, that's it for this week. Business Radio X lets you hear from the top business leaders, executives, managers, and business owners in our communities. Today's interviews are just a few of thousands that you can hear anytime, 24/7, by visiting the voice of business, businessradiox.com. Until next time, I'm Mike Salmon, and this has been North Georgia Business Radio and the best of Business Radio X.